Okay, let's finish off Shah Abkhina for now anyway. Thank you. Okay, so we saw this marshal. Yeah, no, we have to put it back because we saw this marshal. You all remember the marshal, yeah? This Melech who raised this person in the dungeon, remember? It was a few days ago.
All he knew was the dungeon.
Huh?
All he knew was the dungeon.
All he knew was the dungeon. So the way he didn't understand anything else, we don't understand anything else either. Okay, let's have a look and see what he wants to do with this marshal. Go and think deeply about this marshal, my brother. And check it out. That's quite cool. Everyone's calling you brother. Cool. Go check it. V'ahoven migdulas v'yicholes habayis barach behetem lama shehu. V'yigdal b'einecha toi v'chesed shecholen noitcho. Go and have a look at the greatness and the ability of the boy. Behetem lama shehu. Not according to me, according to who he is. And then will grow in your eyes. You'll start seeing the tov and the chesed shechonen otcho, the unbelievable good and chesed that he has bestowed upon you. Shemarot she'ein mispar libruov. There's no end. I mean, there is. It's all finite, but it's there's no end to his creatures, things he created, yesh mi'ayin. Nevertheless, he's paying personal attention to your every need. Private. And then go and look. Bahadras covered with the correct degree of respect at his Torah and his mitzvahs. And then go and imagine, draw a picture in your head of the pachad and the covered, enormous pachad and covered that you should have in your mind. Of somebody who's so much more Omid. Huh? What is that? Omid. Of a higher standing and much more respectable than you. To the degree that he's standing in life is above yours and he needs you less than you need him. Then the quality of good that he's doing for you becomes greater. You judge it according to the person's levels. And to that extent, you will pay attention. You will relate to his mitzvahs and his warnings, not because of the mitzvah, but because of who commanded the mitzvah. And you will go out of your way to do his rotzon. That's why the next Shara is Shara Vayezelokim, because what comes out of Shara Bechina, hopefully, is a feeling of, I need to serve him more. I got this debt that has to somehow be paid back. That's what he's saying here. He's born in Betzuma's life. Pay very, very good attention. How much more so than when it comes to Kodesh Baruch Hu? Does the person have to be makir toiv leboire? If they have a kodesh toiv, ula avdoi belevev shalom, and you have to serve him wholeheartedly. Mitoich yiras hakovod. I don't know what yiras hakovod is. Don't know malasotim is. There's yira and kovod, but what yiras hakovod? I don't know. Awesome honoring. I don't know what that is. So ain cheker, there's a lot of work to be done till I get there. So I'm not worried about that now. When I've done everything and all I've left is working out what to do this for Yiras HaKov, I'll worry about it then. Right now, this ship's not well balanced. In an aeroplane, they put all the passengers on one side. This table's not exactly, it's a little bit, okay, whatever. I don't know, I'm sitting here. I should maybe swap with you. Okay, not now.
That's great.
So ein cheker ve'in sof l'gud l'osu v'icholto. The marotch to einu zokuk lanu klan, and he needs from us how much? Zilch. Except that's not true. We'll see. About in essence, he doesn't need anything from us. Yeah, but he didn't have to create it. He didn't have to create us and then create a situation. He didn't need us before he created the world. He created the world. So in this world that he created, there is some mutual relationship. But in his essence, he didn't have to create the world, and then he could have done away with all of Ein Melech Liyam. Because in his world, there's no Melech, and there's no Am, and there's no needs at all. But you're right. Post my separation, there is a Marechet in the Tzimtzum where he does need us. Okay. Every second, every moment, he's overwhelming you with miracles and wonders and mercy and chesed that is uncountable. All the time, every moment. May Hashem, in his enormous mercy, place us amongst those who are his avodov, hamakirim as darkei tuvoi, those that recognize his good ways. Ve'esmuhusam, amen. That's our tefillah. When you come out of Shara Bechina, you should daven that Hashem will place you amongst those that recognize who Hashem is, take the consequence of that into becoming avodov, those avodim that recognize Hashem's ways and his essence. That's the story there. Okay. Hadron Alecha Shar Abachina. Hadron Alecha. That's the whiskey. You said, you bring the whiskey. Can I borrow your shrine before that you don't mind? I forgot to bring mine. Okay, so once again, well, there's too many people talking at once. Sorry. Yes.
There's no answer. So, Hashem didn't need to create the world. Presumably, he created the world because he wants to, he is good and he wants to do good. So, he made this much Jared so he could feel good on us. The ultimate good. Okay. What was he doing for the world? Like, he was just hanging out? What? I know I don't need a word.
The best answer I ever heard to that question, the best answer, because there's much more to your question. What was Hashem doing before? How can you be infinite? What do you mean he always was? And what was always good and it turned out to be good? Maybe if he always wasn't, it turned out to be bad. There are a lot of questions that six-year-olds have on this question, yeah? They must be notcha, and every now and again, that must bend you now, yeah? That's a powerful question. And you're right, there's no answer. But the best answer I ever heard to this was from Rav Brudny, the Mirror of Shishim in America. He answered this question at one of the Aguda or Torah Masorah conventions. I'm not sure which one it was. He was asked this question by a teacher. When a six-year-old or a 10-year-old or a 40-year-old asked you this question, how do you answer it? How do you answer this question? When your six-year-old comes and asks you this question, what do you tell him? You can't understand. He answered in the same way, but in a nutzach that for me was just mayridi. And he said like this, Hashem never told us. He never told us. Why don't we know what he was doing before? Because he never told us. Just tell us. You know why he didn't tell us? Because it wouldn't be good for us to know. Because if it was good for us to know, he would have told us. It doesn't take the way we can't understand. But it gives meaning to the can't understand. One day you'll understand. But now you can't understand. You know why? It's not good for you to understand. Because if it was good for you, he would give it to you.
While we're on the subject, I don't think it's an easy question to answer, but why start the process in the first place?
Which process?
Bringing people, humanity. Why? For what?
Who?
Hashem.
You know what? One second. We can only answer this question post my separations. Pre my separations, there's no question and there's no answer, and you can't even discuss it. You can't discuss Hashem pre my separations. I said it. Post my separations. which is a very small window of revelation into Hashem, who Hashem is. What he was Megala to us in the Giluim, you're not allowed to talk about. He revealed that to us. But don't think that that's him. This is one of the aspects of his Giluim. In that one aspect of his Giluim, the Ramchal and the Rizal and others, explaining the Das Tfunas, says that Kodesh Baruch Hu is the ultimate essence of goodness. Again, this is all post-Maisa Bereishis. If you're talking pre-Maisa Bereishis, you're talking nonsense. No, I'm saying the person, not you. I'm not addressing you only anymore. If you, we're only talking about in the world that we have, in the Tzimtzum, in the world we live in, we can use words like this. Pre-Maisa Bereishis, all you can say is, you got to be able to say Hashem created the world, cause. Because Hashem created the world, he's also Baba Maisa, pre-Maisa Bereishis. Because the word created only exists. There's no words in that world. I'm saying, so you can't talk there. All you're allowed to talk about, the Kabbalim say, what you're allowed to talk about there and what you're allowed to think about is what you see behind your head. Look behind your head and tell me what you see. No. Sit facing forward and tell me what you see behind your head. You can't see anything. That's how much, that's what you can say about Hashem. So what you see behind your head, that's what you see about Hashem. Post-Maisa Bereishis, Hashem was Magala to us, when he's Gala to us, and he's Torah and whatever, in the world, and he wants us to find him. He hid himself in the world. Hashem hid himself, and he says, come look for me. Come find me. I'm here. And the minute you find him, he takes off the mask, and then you have him. Then he doesn't hide anymore. Within every day, sir, Hashem took off the mask for him. Because Hashem, he found him. So you don't wear a mask if the person knows who you are. The minute you realize who Hashem is, you understand Hashem, there's no more mask, he takes it off. You can't trick a guy like that. But he thinks oil burns because of the molecular structure? Nonsense. Hashem says, all right, you got me. Here I am. Boom. We fall from that. But in the world of Maisa Bereishis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world because Derech HaTov Lahitiv, the way of good to give. And he wanted to give. What did he want to give? The ultimate good, which is himself. But you have to earn it because of Naamah Dekusufa. There's bread of shame. If you earn it, it's the ultimate good. So he created a world where you have Bechira. To have Bechira, you need evil, in which you go about choosing the good. And then you enable Hashem to give you what he wants to give you. You become a partner of Maisa Bereishis. Because of that, you Hashem can't fulfill the purpose of the Bria. That's what you give Hashem. What we mentioned earlier. You give Hashem, 1 second, let me just finish the talk, the Ramchal, and then you can ask all your questions, and I'm going to refer you to a Seifel, which we've learned here many times, and answer all those questions, and it leaves a few more unanswered. You choose to do the Rotzen Hashem, Hashem gives you reward. You choose not to do the Rotzen Hashem, you don't get the reward. What's the reward? Is Hashem doing what he created the world to do, was to give you good. Hashem cannot give you that good if you choose not to get it. That's what you give Hashem. You give him the ability to give you the reward he wants to give you. That's the giving kiviyochel in this marech. Okay? That's why Hashem created the world. Everything in this world is only for our good. Because Hashem doesn't get anything out of this. He doesn't need this bichlal. He doesn't need it. All he did is kudu kudu chesed from the beginning, from the first base in Bereishis until the last lamed in Yisrael, the entire universal experience is only one big act of giving, and he gets nothing out of it. He's the same before the Bria and after the Bria. Don't ask me how that works, I don't know. I was there, Masha Ketuf. That's the system. Now, what's your question?
We answered it. Just Hashem created the entire system of things just to give.
Correct.
And it's worth it for all the suffering, all the pain, and all the terrible things that are happening in the world. It's still worth it because he gets to give us if we deserve it.
You will be exposed one day to why all the suffering and all the bad you see was good in and of itself. It wasn't just, well, I have to torture them in Malasot because I want to give them the good. No. You'll understand why the torture was good and you'll daven for more and you wish you'd have more.
Humanity as a whole.
I don't know about humanity as a whole. Humanity is all too big. I can't deal with it.
The Raya is obviously that if Kadosh Baruch Hu needs nothing, then he also doesn't need to punish us. He doesn't need.
He's not punishing you.
No, that's how we perceive it. Sorry.
It's a six-year-old perceives.
Sorry. He doesn't need to the repercussions of our actions that we may, I may deem to be a negative thing, right, have to be good. Otherwise, why would he even bother doing it? He doesn't need anything. It all has to be part of the same giving.
Oh, that's what I said. There is no bad in the world.
Correct.
There is, again, there is nothing. Hashem doesn't do anything bad. Whatever you see is all good. We don't see it that way. And Hashem allows for us not to see it that way. That's why there's a bracha called Baruch Dina Emes. We don't say Tovel Ametiv because we don't perceive it to be good. But one day, you'll see it's all good. And not all good, you'll see why it had to be exactly the way it was, and you'll thank Hashem then as well. You'll thank Hashem then as well. You can't see it now. You don't see it now. You're not supposed to see it now. There are people who are sameach in the suffering. They celebrate the suffering as well because understand how good it is. Again, your question is, why is there suffering in the world? Okay, good question. That's another subject. It's not essentially why Hashem created the world. He didn't create the world for suffering. But suffering is part of the goodness that Hashem puts into the world. Go have a look at Pirkei Machshava there in the Sefer.
It's very hard to swallow.
I asked you to make it easy. Easy you want. You want it easy.
Everything's good. This person had to die, or this person had to go to fine. So like,
let me make the question. Let me make the question again. Let me make the question a little bit more acute, and we'll stop here. You have a mitzvah to love Hashem, yeah? Mitzvah, I said the raisa to love Hashem. Everybody believes that? You said Shema this morning? Okay. I have the following kasha, and I'm not going to deal with it now. I want you to live this kasha for a couple of weeks, then come back to me. How do you get warm and cuddly? Yeah, you have to love Hashem. It means you've got to get warm and cuddly with the guy that built Auschwitz. You get warm and cuddly with the guy that did Auschwitz. That's the question you have to live with for a few weeks. And then you come back and we can understand a little bit more of this question. Let me tell you, we spoke about Yami once or twice. And I'll give you an insight in how you go about starting to get warm and cuddly with the guy that built the Auschwitz. Because you'll realize you do it all the time as well. Watch. Yosef HaTzadik, 22 years. Separated from his family. I'm not going into the whole story of Yosef HaTzadik. But in the last tekufa of his exile, he meets his brothers. Yeah? And from the minute he meets them, he's torturing them. Not physically so much. But mentally, he's mamish draying a cop. He's mamish, it's emotional abuse. Psychological abuse. Horrific. You go learn the Midrash, you must see what he was doing to them. They were fighting for their world. They were fighting for Olam Haba. When Yehuda stepped forward to confront Yosef right at the end of the story, that was the end of their lives. The whole purpose of Klal Yisrael, the whole purpose of Bria was coming to a crashing halt. There was Armageddon in the extremist form. This world and the next world. They knew what the price was. And he says, Ani Yosef. And he hangs Binyamin and he cries. Rashi says, why was he crying? Because he saw the two Bat HaMikdashes that were going to be destroyed and they were going to be built in Binyamin's turf in Yisraelek, and they were crying. So let me ask you a question. So let's ask this question. Now's the time to cry about the Beis HaMikdash? It's in 3 years, 1,000 years time. Why don't you celebrate first the fact that Binyamin was able to tell the Beis HaMikdash in his turf? That's what you're crying about now after 22 years. You finally arrived with your brothers. Hey, the Beis HaMikdash. No, yeah. One of the real kvetchy litvaks, you know, no matter how good the thing is, there's always some reason to kvetch. That's what's going on here. Says the Sfas Emes, spine chilling. Listen to this. It says, why did Yosef reveal himself then? He could not hold back anymore. He couldn't hold back. That means he was supposed to hold back. The idea would have been if he tortured them a little bit more. But he just couldn't anymore, so he said, Ani Yosef. And because of that, the Beis HaMikdash is going to get destroyed. Because they never got the full dose of suffering they needed. We're going to go through 2,000 years of Golus and go through two Churbanos. That's why he was crying, because Olo Yecholi Tapek. Now you understand the value of suffering? No, but at least you have an insight of how little we understand why Hashem does what he does. We don't understand. Now, how do you get warm and cuddly? What was Yosef thinking? Yosef, nice guy. That's how you treat your brothers? Mamish torturing them. Why? Well, because I'm trying to stop the Churban Beis HaMikdash. That's what I'm involved in, says Yosef. and the suffering they need to go to because of what they did to me, and how did they do what they did to him? And stay tzaddikim gemurim. The only mistake they made in their lives was it was a slight halachic miscalculation how they treated Yosef. Yeah? What they did was sholem, 100%, except for, on their level, a certain lack of lachamim at a certain point, yeah? Oh, that has ramifications. But let me point out to you, you do it all the time. You have children. If you don't do this to your children, you're the cruelest person in the world. If you're not sometimes horrible to your kids because you love them, then you don't love them. If you just give your kids whatever they want, whenever they want, however they want, and you never punish them and you never give them boundaries and you never tell them no, what causes them trauma? When you say no to the chocolate chip cookie number 14, that's proper tzar for the kid. He wants a chocolate chip cookie and he's right to want it. Why shouldn't he want it? Of course he wants it. Why do you want another one? What do you mean? So the child wants another chocolate chip cookie. Why wouldn't he? Why wouldn't he want a tractor on with? Why doesn't he want? Why wouldn't he want an electric bicycle? What do you mean? How can you want an electric bicycle? What do you mean? He's supposed to want an electric bicycle. And when you say no, and his friend's got one, say, correct, not so. Why are you causing your kid pain? I thought you loved him. But you loved him. We do it all the time. All the time if you're a normal human being. You're a decent parent. You're doing it all the time. Now, you're not doing it out of sorriness. Because you love the person. That's what's best for him. That's what Hashem does with us. It looks a bit extreme. It looks a bit extreme. Okay. So the sugya you have to go learn. Now you've got the questions. Now you've got the playing field. Now go learn the subject. Kol Gadol Yisrael have addressed this question. Moshe Rabbeinu had this problem. Rabbi Akiva had these kasha. No, Rabbi Akiva never had kasha. Rabbi Akiva never had the kasha. He understood it perfectly. Kol Yomov. Kol Yomov, he was waiting. When are they going to torture me? He said, I can climb the mitzvah. Even when they're torturing me. But Moshe Rabbeinu didn't get it. He was horrified. The Malachim didn't get it. These are good sugyas to go learn. But you're right. At a seichel dikah level, we know that Hashem loves us and he's only doing good. You see, this doesn't look good. So get baruch deina emes, and then go and understand how it is. But ultimately, you won't understand it properly till Mashiach comes. Then, in the same way that when Yosef said, "Ani Yosef," and in that moment, not just did they realize, "Wow, we off the hook, we saved," they understood why everything 22 years of history had happened just the way it was supposed to happen. You know, when you're reading a story and you're in the middle of a story, because you never read the beginning, you open up a book in the middle. So you don't know what's going on. You read a bit of the story, and this doesn't make any sense. You know why? You never saw the beginning and you haven't seen the end. That's us. When we come into the story in the middle of the story, we didn't see Maaseh Bereishis. We haven't seen the whole sweep of world history, and we don't know where it's going. So it looks bad. Like you're looking for life through a keyhole, you know? A great book, that. A kid's book. It has life looking through a keyhole. They show you the picture of the keyhole and you see somebody, you go, wow, that's terrible. See a guy with a knife like this, whatever. And then they open up the door and you see what's going on. You know, it's the operating theater, the doctor's busy saving the patient's life. You know, so when you look at life through a keyhole, then you're right. But we look at life through a keyhole. So we have these questions, but so they embrace the questions. You don't become a reformed rabbi because you can't answer where was God in the Holocaust. The question, if you're serious about the question, you'll explore it, you'll look into it. You'll research it. You'll speak to survivors. You'll try answer that question if you're serious about it. If you're just making a statement, where was God in the Holocaust? And if you can't show me where was God in the Holocaust, I don't have to keep Shabbos anymore. I can't help you. Because you don't have a question. You have an answer. There are people that have written books showing that since we see God doing bad things, either there's no God, God forbid, or he's not good. Those are the conclusions they came to. Fine. I'm not about to write to him and tell him he's wrong. Because he's not about to give up his career. He made a whole career based on that. He built a whole community and his shuls and he had the whole reform movement based on that nonsense. So write to him and show him he's wrong. Go, oh, wow. Okay. Guess I'm out of a job. You know? Maybe I'll start working for someone else. I don't know. He's invested in his question. Where was God? How can bad things happen to good people? So Tzadik v'ra lo, tzadik v'tov lo, we've answered those questions before. Yeah, but if it interests you enough, you'll sort of look at that and explore it, and you'll come to more and more of an understanding. But ultimately, you won't understand until you leave this world. Okay, I just want to start sharing betfila, because there's a hagdama to the hagdama, which is important to know about. Once we start talking about God, it's important to know how to talk to Him. The sefer, just 1 second. Yeah, okay, before we get here. Correct. Because he himself says at the beginning of Shara Bechina, that's why I spend so much time on it. Normally, you know me, I wouldn't have bothered dealing with this. But in the Hagdama to Shara Bechina, at the beginning, he tells you there's three things that interfere with that process. And one of them is, I'm just reading the summary of the Leif Toiv. Hamikrim haroyim vahefseidim. The bad things that happen in the world and the losses we have. Geshem poigim ba'odim sheinimam in shebol of betzedek. When they affect a person and he doesn't have emunah that they're coming to him justfully. Ulotov also, and for his good. And goyimim lo lisram el Hashem. V'lois kofut toiva alav. That's why you need to address that question, Dafke, yeah. Because if you want to become the person we're trying to become in Bechina, this is going to be something that's going to get in your way, and therefore you need to work on it, and you need to address it. Nahon. You can look at what happened on the 7th of October, like people I know, and turf off the yoke of Torah. Because there's no ways Hashem could, there's no ways. No ways. I asked the person once, told me this. I said, you've dealt with the Holocaust? You were from until Zion October. How did you do that? There was a Holocaust, much worse. Said 6 million? 6 million? That didn't get your goat? This does. Yeah, there's a disconnect here. You came to you after the Holocaust and said, I'm out of here. Okay. So after 7 October, I'm out of here as well. Okay. You weren't out of here after the Holocaust. You stayed from after the Holocaust. After Simchas Torah, you're not from anymore. Something doesn't connect here. There's a misfit here. You get it? Go deal with the Holocaust first. Come back to me. We'll talk about it afterwards. You want to talk about the Inquisition? You want to talk about Bovel? We've been through 4 horrific goluses. We need to discuss this golus as well. Let's assume we will. Don't tell me you're not keeping Shabbos anymore because of what happened on Simchas Torah. But after the Holocaust, you weren't keeping Shabbos? Someone tells me you can't keep Shabbos after the Holocaust. He was there. I got nothing to say to him. Nothing to say to him. Someone does keep Shabbos off to keep the Holocaust. Understand him as well. They're both. Because I'm human and humans do human things. Emotions overwhelm you in an overwhelming situation like that. No time is against the guy like that. But after Simchas Torah, you have problems, for sure, problems. But that's only after you've dealt with the Holocaust. And stayed from after the Holocaust. And now you have a new problem. But if you're keeping Shabbos happily after the Holocaust, and now suddenly you're giving Shukkah, what's going on here? But you want to see Hashem on Simchas Torah? The Gilu of a Kodesh Baruch Hu on Simchas Torah was so unbelievably great, it's impossible to know how we see that Bechira after that. And you see that Bechira after you saw the Gilu Hashem on Simchas Torah. How much chesed and goodness, untold, unbelievable. Unbelievable. One kid goes into the Minneapolis University in America with a gun and kills 40 people in half an hour. Yeah? He's a trained murderer. He's just a sugar and took a gun. What did he do? 3,000 people, highly trained, highly motivated, bloodthirsty animals, only managed to kill one person. 2.5 of these guys that were running around this country for hours, days. Before they got rid of them, only managed to kill one person, 2.5. Kamasnikim, only managed to kill one person. Those are the numbers. Where was God in the Holocaust? Where was God in Simchas Torah? Where wasn't he? Show me one place where he wasn't. The 1,200 that got killed? It's a pain, it's a suffering. We feel the pain. And Hashem had a cheshbon with each person. Well, this one did kill, this one got saved, this one not. You don't belong here, go away. An Arab says that to a Jewish girl. He's busy schlepping all these chatafim back to Gaza. He stops and he says to her, Atzenua, lamatapo, atloma, the loma comes to Haratz. He sends out because she's Tzenua. Where's Hashem? I don't know. Where isn't he? Hundreds of stories like that. The one Shemesh Shemitah guy in one of the kibbutzim there, one guy, two guys at Kishim HaShabbos, the one wasn't there. He got a chukin cop to go visit his daughter in Paris on Erev Simchas Torah. He flew to Paris for no reason. His wife thought he'd lost his mind. He said, I'm going to visit our daughter in Paris. So he wasn't there, the one Shemesh Shemitah guy. The other Shemesh Shemitah guy, they painted on his wall. He was in his house. They came to his house and they painted on his wall. We love you. We're not starting up with you. And they left. I see the picture painted in Arabic on the wall. Where was God? Where wasn't he? 3,000 people were laying around with guns, RPGs. They found 3,000 RPGs that they brought into Israel. 3,000 RPGs. A model six-year-old grandchild knows 3,000 RPGs. You know, you're going to get any kids. You got a 10-year-old. You know what he would do with 3,000 RPGs? But Shemesh wouldn't be standing anymore. These guys, highly trained, motivated. They were running off of Kim for hours. 60,000 people in Ofakim, Leonora. I don't know how many people are killed in Ofakim. It was 30, I think, 25, 30 people. They didn't go to any shuls. They had the numbers and the names and the times of doubling of every shul in Ofakim. They didn't go into one shul. Why not? Explain that to me. No, I'm saying. That's what you say. Avada, there's pain and there's bad, and you have to go sit shiva with somebody whose son just got killed. Avada. And who's not torn up and broken and in pain over the chatufim? You're supposed to feel the pain. We're human. No, I call Tov, it's Beseda. For yourself, you could do that. For them, you have to feel their pain. But it's a real pain. And it builds rachamim and it builds empathy and achinati. But at the same time, and this is what makes it so schizophrenic, I call Tov, it's a call Mishamayim, at the end of that, I call Tov, and you go back to doing what you have to do. You hear about a sick child that you don't even know. And you don't have to rev yourself up. You just start crying because that's who you are. And 10 minutes later, you're dancing at a chasen. Yeah. Tov.